As soon as our difficulties are restored, we will return you to our regularly scheduled program.
Let's take it from the top.
It's Peter Tilden.
At 10!
Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10, begins right now. You can tell because I'm here. Brought to you by Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep. We'll, of course, beat anyone's advertised price, or your mattress is free. We do have a special evening with Frankie Valli tickets to give away, and the Four Seasons, with the Pacific Symphony Orchestra. The lines blow out. I was shocked that many people are into Frankie Valli, but I guess 800 Hits, the movie, Jersey Boys, the stage play, the whole bit. So call when I tell you to call. Because hopefully you'll get to win the tickets. We also have a Russian expert on next hour that I think will fascinate you, because his take is that Russia will not retaliate on us getting rid of their diplomats, number one. Number two, that Putin's not as powerful as we make him out to be, and that he really didn't interfere in the election to the extent that we're playing it. So we'll talk about that in a bit. I just wanted to open with something lighter, and then I'll get right to heavier. But this has got, I think, Dino, what has it got? Over a million views already? It just made me laugh, and I thought we all need a laugh. If you go online, you can see Charlie the Guilty Dog. This dog apparently got into the trash, his owner's trash, and the dog knows that he did something wrong. Now, my dog does this too, but this guy, he looks so guilty, and he comes walking around the corner in the kitchen. It looks like it's in slow-mo. It's 1 foot. And the other foot, and he's hulking down, and he's making those eyes at his owner like, I know I've committed a heinous crime. I'm so sorry. It's hilarious. And again, the internet is populated with guilty dog videos, but this is an A, which is why it went over a million. The owner, meanwhile, is getting pushed back, saying, hey, how about getting dog-proof trash cans? When I leave my house and I leave my dog alone in the bedroom, I take my trash can out of the bedroom because you know what he's going to do? He's going to eat everything that is in the trash can. But nevertheless, it's a wonderful thing to see if you're an animal lover, even if you're not a dog owner. It's go online. It's Charlie, the ridiculous guilty dog, and it's a blast. It'll start your day with a huge laugh, or it's 10 o'clock. If you're starting your day now, you've got a bigger issue. But I think it'll make you laugh big time. Charlie, the guilty dog. Now let's move on to the citizenship question in the census. Huge pushback. 19 attorney generals said they're going to fight the president if he dares to ask people if they are citizens, which is pretty amazing. The census data, of course, is used to determine all kinds of federal funding, how it's spent, how congressional districts are drawn. So here's my sense of this, and I'll get your sense. 800-222-5222. It's wrong to ask citizens this. Are they here illegally? Are you a citizen? But okay. So the backlash is that people won't come out and answer the census correctly. If that's on there, are you a citizen? And that we won't get a true count, and it's going to cost us extra money because we got to go door to door, and that we won't get the right numbers for redistricting. And it undermines the electoral power of blue states. The critics are saying it's going to reduce response rates hugely, and the accuracy will go down. And like I said, it's going to cost a lot of money then go to door-to-door to get an accurate sense. The thing about this, why I disagree with that, is they're already asking it. It's shocking because you go, whoa, is this going to change something? And I'm looking. There's something called the American Community Survey that goes out. It's an offshoot of the census. The census used to be a much longer form. They shortened the census, but they wanted the citizen question still answered. So every year, instead of every 10 years like the census, the American Community Survey goes out. So I got a copy of it, and I'm looking at it. I'll tell you what's in it in a moment. But what you should know is, and I'll read it to you in a second, you're trying to get the metrics of the entire population, and you're trying to figure out what percentage of the Hispanic voters are needed in a particular congressional district to elect a candidate. Without knowing citizenship, how do you do that? So having an accurate count of the number of non-citizens is kind of essential to have a debate about the data. So you can discuss some issues with some intelligence, like how many immigrants should we accept? We can talk chain migration. It's interesting to have the right numbers. So you're saying, well, but this is the wrong thing to do. It's going to turn people off. It's already being asked. It's already in the American Community Survey. So I printed out the survey. And what you should know, too, if you answer no, are you a citizen? It doesn't go and ask another question. Are you here illegally? There's no follow-up question that would incriminate you or cause somebody. And it's, by the way, it's supposed to be. They don't know who you are. Your identity is supposedly kept secret. But here you go. Anyway, it's confidential. Excuse me. So I'm looking at the survey. How many people are living or staying at this address? This is the beginning of the American Community Survey. You go to the second page, and it's what person's date of birth. What's the person's race? Which best describes the building you're living in? Past 12 months, what were actual sales of all agricultural products from this property? How dare they ask me about what I'm selling from my house? If I want to sell wheat from my home and corn, maize, I'm allowed to do that. How many of rooms or bedrooms at this house, apartment, or mobile home? Do you or any member of this household own or use any of the following types of computer, desktop, smartphone, etc.? At this house, apartment, or mobile home, do you or any member of this household have access to the internet? Do you or any member of this household have access to the internet using a cellular phone, broadband, etc.? So they're asking pretty specific stuff. Then they want to know how many automobiles do you have, or vans, etc.? Which fuel is used most for heating this house, apartment, or mobile home? Then they go, what was the cost of the gas, the cost of water to the house, the cost of any kind of oil that you're using? They get pretty specific. What's the monthly rent or mortgage? What are the real estate taxes? What's the annual payment for fire hazard and flood insurance? How much is the regular monthly mortgage payment on this property? How much is the payment on all second or junior mortgages on this property? Then here we go to the page. Is this person a citizen of the United States? Yes, born in the United States. Skip to question 10. Yes, born in Puerto Rico, Guam, U.S. Virgin Islands, North Marianas. Yes, born abroad of U.S. citizen parent, or yes, U.S. citizen. That's it. When did this person come to the United States? Boom. Done. And they don't say, are you here illegally or legally? They just want to know if you're a citizen or not and where you were born. At any time in the last 3 months, has this person attended school or college? What grade level was this person attending? How well does this person? So there's this furor about asking this question, but the question goes out constantly every year, year in and year out. In the American Community Survey, you can look it up. I'm looking at the 2017 one, and you'll notice that the census form used to be long. I was shocked at how short the current census form is. It's going out in 2020. But this is a question that is currently asked, and I don't understand what the pushback is. Why wouldn't you continue to ask it? I guess it was removed from the larger census question. But how's it working out on the American Community Survey? Is there a problem? Has there been a pushback? Have there been anybody up in arm over the last few years when they've been asking this in this American Community Survey, which is an offshoot of the census? So they're already asking about citizenship, and now all of a sudden this has become a hotbed political issue that we shouldn't be asking about. Are you a citizen or are you not a citizen when you're trying to discern who's here and how many people are here and how to best serve all of the people that are here and how to budget for all of the people who are here? And this survey, by the way, the American Community Survey, goes out every single year to about 3.5 million people. Have never heard a pushback on this, checked to see if there was a problem. Never been a problem with this. So starting 1950, the questions were moved from the long form of the census that goes to 1 in 6 households, meaning that most residents were never asked about their origins of immigration. After the 2000 census, the long form was dropped and converted into the American Community Survey, the ACS, which is a lengthy questionnaire that goes out annually to over 3 million households. So explain to me how this is even a problem. I don't get why this is a political issue, a big political issue now, but you got 19 attorneys general said they will fight the president if he dares ask people if they are citizens. The census data, of course, as I said, is used to determine federal funds. Why would you not want this on the census to determine who's here? It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why this is an issue. Maybe you can explain to me. If they're already asking it, not on the longer form, but on the one that goes out every year. So they want to add it back to the one that goes out every 10 years, the major census, doesn't make any sense to me. It's already out there. It already exists. So that's somewhat of a national issue. On a local issue, Mayor Garcetti is going to push the can down the road again. On April 20th, he's going to go public with his balanced budget for the next fiscal year. And Jack Humphreyville pointed out in a great article that he's got a budget deficit of $250 million that he says that he's going to alleviate. But it's kind of nonsense, because what they're calling a balanced budget is not a balanced budget. And what that means for you and me is they're going to cut services, they're going to cut programs, because they got raises, pretty generous raises to the police and civilian employees. They got higher pension contributions, and they lowered the investment rate assumption, which is still really optimistic, of 7.25%. So what they do is they Mickey the numbers to make it look like there's no problem. But they're not going to address in the budget, so when you hear it, be prepared. They're not going to address the unfunded pension liability of $15 billion, which is only 71% funded. The fact that the city's two pension plans are shortchanged by $400 to $500 million a year because we keep doing this stupid, overly optimistic rate assumption of 7.25%. I don't know why they just said we're going to get a return of 8% or 10%, and you can alleviate all of the problems that we have by just picking a number right out of your butt. The budget is not going to tackle any of the deferred maintenance backlog of about $10 billion to the streets, the sidewalks, the parks, the trees, the buildings, the facilities that he points out. So the infrastructure is devastated, neglected, but they're not pointing that out. And by the way, it's devastated because of the increasing salaries and the benefits that are out there. So what Jack Humphreyville points out is that they should do some things to make a difference, and I don't think they will do it. Number one is increase any transparency into our budget, which they never do. They never do. Wouldn't you love to have a monthly meeting where you have an update on the city's budget? Which, by the way, the mayor promised that when he got into office. And since he got into office, because he got into office at the right time, they generated surpluses because revenues increased by $1.4 billion. 31% revenues increased, but he's still going to ask for more money because they can't stay within their budget. And they're still not taking care of stuff. How about mandating that labor contracts, other agreements, will be revenue neutral, which they won't do? How about a 10-year financial plan, which they won't do? How about, where's our plan to repair and maintain our streets and the rest of our infrastructure? Haven't done that. How about looking at city services and see how affordable they are? Because we may want to outsource to private contractors a good part of our repair and maintenance of our streets if they can do it cheaper. Have we ever done that? Have we looked at that and done any kind of control? No. How about reviewing and analyzing the city's underfunded pension plans and develop recommendations on how to address them? No. You know why they won't do that? Because they don't want to bring up the underfunded pension plans. It's, look over here. Our budget, we made our budget. We're doing well over here. Instead of the fact that they're going to raise taxes, they should build a reserve fund and a budget stabilization fund, which they haven't done. They should develop a capital expenditure plan that addresses the expansion of the convention center and the Los Angeles River. By the way, what is that thing going to cost? And how is that going to turn into a reality that we can afford? And establish an independent office, which is the smartest, an independent office of transparency and accountability, which we so awfully need. Remember the DWP, those two trusts that we still don't know? I'm going to get crazy with it. The two trusts that we still don't know about that were there for safety, even though they already had safety programs. And do you remember the city attorney was allowed to come in and do an audit, but he was only allowed to look at them for a certain amount of time. I think he had to look at them through an Eclipse box. He couldn't bring pencils in there, and he had to bring an old pad of paper. There were all these regulations when he went in there to look at it because they didn't want him to see what's in those two trusts. Yet, we're paying for those two trusts. So just know on April 20th when the mayor goes public with his alleged balanced budget, there's no way that budget is anywhere close to being balanced because all the increases they made, first of all, the optimistic investment returns they think they're going to get, and the fact that all the deferred maintenance of $10 billion is not going to be in there, and nothing negative is going to be there, like all of the union stuff, all of the pensions that they're out. And they never address it. They never address it. They tell how great the city's going, and yet down the road, you're going to pay for it, your kids are going to pay for it, their kids are going to pay for it, and they don't have any kind of transparent plan to fix it. So good luck with that on April 20th. So the two big issues today, the citizenship issue, should they ask it or should they not ask it, is one of the dumbest things ever because they're asking it already. Right, Dean? 800-222-5222. It's so stupid, but I guess these attorneys, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to take our tax money to sue. You're going to take your dollars and my dollars, Nino's dollars, everybody's dollars, your good tax money to sue and say they shouldn't ask the question because it discriminates. Yet you're trying to find out how many people are here. It doesn't ask the next question, which is, are you here illegally? It's already being asked in the American Community Survey. So if it was wrong or illegal or it would cause folks not to answer, wouldn't we know that from this American Community Survey? Wouldn't we be looking at this for years and saying, well, they're not answering here. We're going to have a real problem getting people to do it on the census if they're not doing it on the American Community Survey. But there's been no pushback on this thing, which comes out once a year to millions of people so we can determine exactly how many people are really here. When you want to determine what hospitals are going to be taxed with people here, if you want to figure out how many people are going to be using the highways, how many people are going to be using medical services, how many people are going to use emergency services, etc., you better know a real headcount and try and get a real headcount. So I'm baffled, and the dumbest answer is it's already here. They're already doing it. So I don't get the legal basis for all of a sudden deciding we're going to push back on this in the census, because we already have an answer. And either this has been done illegally for years, and by the way, they used to ask it on the major census also, what your citizenship is. The big point I point out again, though, is if you say no, are you a citizen? They don't ask if you're here illegally. They don't go any further. They just want to know if you're here. How is that a negative thing? I don't get it. And why do they have a right to use our taxpayer dollars to go and sue the federal government for asking that question? 800-222-5222. Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Phone number 800-222-5222. Let's, before the news, squeeze in Rick from Diamond Bar. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Fine. How are you, sir?
Good, man. What do you want to say?
So, I wanted to talk about this issue with the census. And the problem is that this kind of information has already been there's already been attempts to weaponize it in things like Trump's voting commission that he had with Chris Kobach, who was the Secretary of State of Kansas, pushing for this kind of information on the Kansas state level to prevent people from voting, to remove voting booths in certain districts that had a certain demographic. So this information has been weaponized by the federal government.
Well, Kobach, and I get what you're saying. He's tried to do that because what he wants to do was have the House seats based on total population, not voter rolls. So I get that. But if you look at what's out there already, like I said, the American Community Survey, which is part of the census, which goes out every year, not 10 years, is already asking that question. And it does not determine whether you're here illegally. It just asks
right.
you that question.
But the thing is, like, if you are here illegally and you get this document from the federal government that we get every 10 years that, I think is registered mail or is tracked mail at that point, and it's asking you these questions about your citizenship, and you are not documented, that is a deterrent
I hear you, but has it been a deterrent every year? Again, they do the census every 10 years on the American Community Survey, which comes out every single year and goes to millions and millions of folks. Has it been an issue the last 10 years on that form? I like to look at quantitative analysis. I like to look at real data and see if it's been a problem.
I would say that those are two different things because that survey that you're talking about, not as many people are filling that out as the national, as the census.
But it still goes,
it's a smaller percentage.
It's a smaller sampling because they couldn't afford to do it every 10 years, but it still gives you a snapshot of the country. It's still put out by the U.S. Department of Commerce, and it still asks the citizen question, and it seems to have asked it for years without any problem, and without any ramifications to immigrants. So they want a real headcount.
All right, but you ask your listeners have to answer this truthfully. How many people have known about that survey before you brought it up? The chances are You have not filled that out, right? Have you ever been asked to do that?
One in six have been asked to do it. I haven't been asked to do it, but I know people who have.
That's a good question. You're following listeners.
No, I got it. Rick, I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm out of time here because of the news. I appreciate your input, and it's valid input. It's just like I said, this survey that's been out for years by the U.S. Department of Commerce already asked the question, and there is no follow-up. And I get what you're saying about the voter commission, which, by the way, Kovach was not able to do successfully. They shut him down. But this question has been asked for years. Dave, I'll get to you next. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Peter Tillman 10 continues after the news. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Peter Tillman 10 continues. And that is Frankie Valli. I'm going to give you a chance to win tickets to see him in Four Seasons with the Pacific Symphony Orchestra in just a little bit. But right now, let's go to Dave in Orange County. Excuse me. Dave, what do you want to say?
Hey, Peter. This just shows the absolute corruption of this Attorney General Xavier Becerra of the state of California. It's obvious that he's trying to protect illegal aliens, and we do know that congressional districts are drawn based on population, not whether or not you're a citizen. And it's just he's just making his ulterior motives known. He's Mr. SB 54 protecting illegal alien criminals for deportation. These Democrats are so corrupt.
When you say these, because I don't know if everybody's so corrupt, but thank you. But when you say, I don't know legally how they have a bearing if it's already being asked every year. Maybe I don't get it, but I'm looking at the census that goes out every year by the Department of Commerce, and they're already asking the question. It's in there. And they've already specified that they'll ask the question, but they're not going to follow up. If you say, are you a citizen, and answer no, they're not going to ask if you're here legally or not. They don't. I'm looking at the survey right now. And even though it's a smaller survey than the census, because they can't afford to do it every year, this is a survey that goes to almost 4 million people every single year. I've never heard a pushback on it. I looked it up this morning to see if there was a pushback, or if there's anything from the ACLU, or from the Hispanic community or minority communities. Nobody, not a peep. And this goes out, like I said, it goes out every single year to millions and millions of people. So there's never been a problem. I don't know how now they're going to say they have a legal problem with this and they're trying to politicize it. Look, if it was, I'd say, okay, I get it. But it's already out there. It's already happening. They're already asking the question. So I don't get what leg they have to stand on. I do want to mention, because I got a bunch of calls yesterday, and some friends even called me and said, boy, were you mad at Anderson Cooper yesterday on the air talking about the Stormy Daniels interview. I was upset, and I'll tell you why I was upset. First of all, the newest news is that they're suing now. There's a new lawsuit for defamation, that Stormy Daniels is suing Michael Cohen, the lawyer, for defamation. And I'll explain. Here's what happened. The basis for the defamation claim is that Michael Cohen issued a statement to the media on February 13th of 2018 relating to the $130,000 payment to Ms. Daniels. So here's what it says. Just because something isn't true doesn't mean that it can't cause you harm or damage. I will always protect Mr. Trump. That's his comment. According to Daniels, anyone listening reasonably understood Mr. Cohen meant to convey that Ms. Clifford is a liar. The problem with that is he didn't say anything specifically about her in the statement. All he said was that things that aren't true can still hurt you, and he's going to protect Trump. So I don't know what part of that is the false part. And as far as defamation, you got to prove financial damages. From what I understand, unless I'm wrong, Stormy Daniels is making four times what she was making for club appearances. She's been offered all kinds of gigs. This is where her lawyer has made a huge left turn, big left turn. That and what's on the CD, he's now, 60 Minutes was your opportunity to come out and present your case. Show everybody what you got. This is it. Everybody's watching, including engineer Steve, who wanted to swallow his tongue from watching the thing. And they blew it. They blew it. And the reason I was mad at Anderson Cooper, whether you hate Trump or whether you love Trump, here's a woman claiming stuff. Go deep, ask her the questions as a journalist that would either discredit her or prove her case, so that we have some information. That was a zero gain, zero net loss. Why they did it was just for ratings, and they got them. They got almost 22 million viewers, huge. But I think it hurt her. She's gone. She's going to limp off into the sunset now. Her credibility is done because of that interview. And Anderson Cooper, they've already taken away his 9 o'clock hour. I think his credibility as a journalist went down the tubes. because it was such a horrendous interview and it lacked follow-up questions. It lacked any, it felt like they had an agreement going in, and I don't know if they did, that he would ask either no follow-up questions or just repeat the question three different ways that she already answered. But it went nowhere. It was a zero, and I think they're going to limp off into the sunset. Now, Evanetti is implying there may be something else, but I think everyone's lost interest. Apparently, the country was interested because the numbers were huge with viewers, but I think it hurt them in a big way because all of those viewers, I feel like we do, and I heard calls yesterday, took calls yesterday, and heard the comments in the afternoon, completely nonsense. This was, I'd rather watch Geraldo. I'd actually rather watch Larry King do an interview. Can't believe that came out of my mouth. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Peter Till the 10 continues. Hey, Steve, I hear this a lot. Who is this that does this? Who is it? Cracker. All right. That's pretty cool. Interesting riff. All right, coming up. After the top of the hour, we've got a Russia expert on, Dr. Robert English. He's going to talk about why the Russians won't retaliate based on the fact that we just threw out 60 major Russians from our country, 30 from Europe, why they won't retaliate, how Putin didn't put Trump in the White House, and how the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State played Putin the wrong way. So that's coming up based on the fact that Russia's in the news big time, and I wanted to know, what are they going to do? What can they do as far as the retaliation, and why is the president, is he playing a good cop, bad cop thing, where his administration does one thing after he says something totally different? So kind of fascinating. Meanwhile, his approval ratings went up since the Stormy Daniels interview on CNN. His approval ratings went up. Now here, Michael Avenatti is just flailing. Here's what he said today.
You've suggested in a tweet that this is just the beginning. The interview that we saw last night was just the beginning. What else do you have?
Well, I haven't suggested it. I meant it. It is just the beginning. We have a whole host of evidence. This is not going away, and Mr. Cohen and the president better come clean with the American people, and they better do it quickly.
What kind of evidence do you have?
Again, I'm not going to get into the details of the evidence. We're in the early stages.
This is so annoying, the constant teasing with, I have something. Dude, what's a bigger, more prestigious platform than 60 Minutes to produce what you have? That's your shot, man. You blew it. The spotlight was on. She could, if she had anything, now people doubt that she has anything. They doubt the nonsense of this. And by the way, people don't care about an affair. They didn't care about it with Bill Clinton. They care about lying, but they don't care about the affair. And once you lie, by the way, you got to continue to lie. If you have an affair, you're not going to all of a sudden say, yeah. But I don't think they care. And by the way, that thing put a nail in the coffin. That interview put a nail in the coffin. It's done. It's over. Her credibility is done. His approval rating went up.
To say we are only getting started.
When are you going to revisit?
We're only getting started.
In the next few weeks and months.
And what is the evidence of? What are you trying to prove?
We're going to prove that Mr. Cohen's statements to the American people are false. That at all times.
Hey, you know what? It's done. See you later. It's finished. And the defamation suit is nonsense. There's no way. The ice caps will melt completely before he can prove defamation. So he's, you know what? He started out, people are going, boy, he's a pretty tough lawyer. He's pretty credible. Look how tough he is. He looks great. Now it's becoming a clownish thing. And she just wants her 15 minutes, I guess. I don't know what she wants, because Anderson Cooper didn't really get to the bottom of what she wants, because he did a horrific, horrific interview. And as a matter of fact, the most embarrassing part of it was seeing Anderson Cooper the next day on Monday morning on the morning show with Mr. Cuomo, who's replacing him in the 9 o'clock hour. And you could tell they hate each other, because Cuomo took part of his currency there. And Anderson was supposed to be the big star. Now I guess Mr. Cuomo is going to be the rising star on CNN. And then they had to talk about the interview all day long, and there's nothing really to talk about. Somebody threatened her. Yeah, and who would that person be, and did anybody else see it, and were there security cameras, and we don't necessarily believe you, and you have no way to back it up, and see you later. Check, please. So I think that's kind of done and finished. So good luck with this. It's over. I'm done talking about it, unless something amazing, startling, incredible happens, which I don't think, because again, that show was supposed to be it. 60 Minutes has broken whistleblower stories. Over the years, it's such a credible news show, and they do such great vetting. And I think what he just did was he blemished 60 Minutes also with that interview. Hey, before we take a break, don't forget there are loads of winners in the 790 KBC $500 high-low game weekdays at 6, 9, noon, and 3. Plus, just for playing, you get a gift card for Bristol Farms, your Southern California local food store. Since 1982, the KBC $500 high-low game, Craig won $500 with Doug and Leanne. Jerry from Canyon Country is among the big winners. He grabbed his $500 with Jillian and John, and you can be next. Keep track of the guesses to have an even better chance to win. It literally pays to listen to 790 KABC, and we'll be right back.
The one who answers the question, who is the mole?
Talk Radio 790 KABC. That's Anderson Cooper at his best when he was the host of The Mole. Go back to that, please. Give me the $11 million to do what he does on CNN and another four to do that part-time job on 60 Minutes, please. You know the bargain I would give you? Yes, I'm jealous. I would love to do that job. And I'm screaming at the TV set questions that he should be asking that he's not. And by the way, the lawyer to Stormy Daniels should be ashamed that she got $130,000. Remember, Paula Jones got $850,000. That was the bar. So we negotiated so low. I guess that's when Stormy Daniels said that the $130K, everybody knows I settled for too low. I guess she realized that after the fact. I love in the interview that she said 130. Everyone knows that that's not a number that you would settle at normally, unless you're pressured. Really, 130,000 for everybody is not a big number to shut up and not say anything. I think that's a pretty good number, by the way. So, I think they're limping off in the sunset. You'll never hear about the defamation suit again. Jimmy Carter made comments on the Trump affair, and I play them for you next hour. But more importantly, we're going to talk about Russia, because we did retaliate to the event in England where Russia poisoned an ex-spy and his daughter, and Russia sent, and the European Union sent, 30 Russians back, and we sent 60, and it was a real big warning shot to Putin. What's going to happen with our relationship with Russia now? How will he retaliate? What will happen? What about